That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.
Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Certainly is that time. Southern Cross is back with its great... I really like that intro a lot. And with me in the studio is Pacific Media Watch contributing editor Michael Andrew. Michael, how are you going?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You might be wonderful. Things in West Papua are not so good.
No.
What's going on there?
No, I'm definitely separated from the developments there. But it's still very much the West Papua show. Do you want the good news first or the bad news?
Let's lead in with the good news.
Okay. So, well, the good news is the internet has been restored in Papua. And as we know, it had been shut down by the Indonesian government to prevent the unrest, the protests to racism and for independence to spread. So it was effectively quelled to stop the trouble from spreading over the region, but it did regardless. In any case, the internet has been shut down, but it may be just a temporary measure. If the unrest continues to spread, it will be shut down again. So it's been restored for the meantime, but that's the good news.
Are we seeing more news coming out now? Is it really going off?
Well, kind of still the same degree of actual news, but definitely a lot more Facebook posts, which are hard to verify. But I think you'll slowly see the actual media starting to report more from the location and from the actual region itself. But yeah, lots of Facebook posts which are quite concerning. They just take time to develop, to obviously verify them. Yeah. You can't just go ahead and say, oh, this stuff's happening right now because this person posted this. But
Is there a high level of censorship with the internet even though it's back on?
I think so. Well, I mean, like the Pacific, especially West Papua and Papua New Guinea, they use Facebook a lot for their communications. I mean, I think it's hard to censor everything. But yeah, this blackout was definitely a case of heavy-handed censorship.
And what's the bad news?
The bad news, okay.
Do I want to ask?
Last week there were, I spoke on the show, there were reports of half a dozen people killed in the Daya Regency, which is a remote part of Papua. That was unverified, but then some Australian outlets started posting video of soldiers firing upon unarmed civilians outside a government building. It's hard to tell exactly what's happening from the video, but you see soldiers pointing their guns at West Papuans with their hands on their heads and firing and into this building. You don't see anyone killed per se, but it's certainly harrowing, and there's all the screaming going on, and the fact that these reputable Australian outlets like CBS News and The Guardian have published the video, you kind of got to take it seriously. That was probably one of the most heinous reported incidents that happened last week. But also, a bunch of people have been arrested for raising flags, raising the Morning Star, which we've talked about as a punishable crime. It's punishable if it's raised higher than the Indonesian flag or if it's raised solo.
Right.
If it's raised alongside or directly below the Indonesian flag, it's kind of okay. But then it's a bit of a cowboy zone, so it's probably safe not to do it at all. But yeah, so these folks that got arrested were actually Indonesians. And this is why these protests are different from anything that's happened in the past, because it involves a very ardent, passionate body of Indonesian activists who are backing the West Papuan cause for independence. And that's what separates it, and that's why it's getting so much media play, not New Zealand, but elsewhere.
Because they're Indonesian, they might be less likely to actually prosecute them for raising the Morning Star than if it were a West Papuan?
I doubt it. There are reports that they're in prison right now in Jakarta, and they're being forced to listen to nationalist songs over and over again as a form of psychological, psychological torment, I suppose, which is not very nice. But yeah, probably the fact that they're Indonesians is going to make them look like traitors more so than insurgents, as they term West Papuans for practicing any kind of independence action. The other, news is the reports of people getting killed and attacked have not been investigated. No one's been held accountable. And human rights groups are saying, well, these need to be investigated. These need to be looked into. They can't just be swept under the rug. They're unverified at the moment, but we've got all this information on Facebook and these Australian outlets saying that six people were shot dead. So it needs to be investigated. There needs to be some kind of due diligence.
Well, that segues quite nicely into our next topic. Human rights measures are to be deployed in the Pacific. Tell us about this.
Yes, indeed. So a new human rights measurement initiative is being rolled out in the coming months. And the organisers, which is called the Human Rights Measurement Initiative, have held a series of workshops in New Zealand. Now, this has been good because there hasn't been any meaningful human rights measurement in the Pacific other than Fiji, New Zealand and Australia. And New Zealand and Australia naturally scored quite high, you know, in the 70% on multiple categories, which is kind of economics, freedom of expression, freedom to question the government, all this kind of stuff, freedom of assembly and association. There's quite a long list, freedom from torture. New Zealand and Australia scored quite high, and Fiji scored very low, in the 30% on a lot of these things. But the organizer, Anne-Marie Brooke, has said that she's concerned, or she's not expecting all the Pacific countries and governments to embrace the findings because it's going to make a lot of people look quite bad. Unfortunately, that's just the nature of how things are in the Pacific at the moment.
Has Australia or New Zealand responded?
Well, the New Zealand government is actually partially funding this initiative, which is a little bit tricky because that wants to maintain its independence.
Yeah, but a bit hard when one of the better countries, I guess, or the better scoring countries.
Yeah, so New Zealand has put in 600,000, which isn't, you know, that much, but it's going to help. But a clause had to be inserted into the contract with New Zealand's foreign ministry to safeguard the initiative's independence. But yeah, that is at least going a little bit of the way to start addressing human rights issues in the Pacific, to have those metrics in place so that governments can make meaningful changes based on actual data and see where the problems are in their society. But it's a question of, are these governments, who probably many of them are the cause of the low human rights issues, whether they're going to embrace the findings.
And something we've not talked about for a while, the University of South Pacific. Do you want to remind us what happened there and what's happened since?
Yeah, okay. So it was about 6 months ago, or earlier this year anyway, the Vice Chancellor he raised these allegations that finances and contracts and administration type stuff within the organization had been mismanaged and abused. People were being paid a lot more than they should. Contracts weren't being filled out, and it was all a bit loose and fast. So the University of South Pacific Council said they would investigate it. They hired an Auckland-based firm to look into it, which has been investigating the issue for the last few months. And they've released a report last week that says they've found a lot of stuff, a lot going on, and they are going to be moving on that in the next week or so and advising the council on the best way to act. It hasn't actually released the details of what they've found, but it is it correlates with the initial allegations.
So I guess it might be a bit too early to know, but do you think we could see some quite serious repercussions from this?
I don't know if there'll be serious repercussions because the allegations took place under the former chancellor, so he's already left by now, but it's definitely going to result in some serious changes in management structure and in how they do things at the university, which, you know, might affect how the academic and education departments progress as well. And as you know, the University of South Pacific is a close partner of Pacific Media Centre. We share a lot of content, and they have, they're pretty much the leading, outside of New Zealand, the leading journalism hub, grooming young journalists for Pacific journalism. Mm. So that's very, very important to a lot of people from Papua New Guinea, a lot of people from Solomons go to Fiji to get their education and then they return home. Mm. So anything to do with the university at the management level, you know, it needs to be looked into to ensure it doesn't jeopardise the integrity of the education and journalism department.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about that one. Just finally, the Fijian Prime Minister may or may not have assaulted someone. What's going on?
Yeah, okay, so video emerged 2 weeks ago. The opposition MP, Pio Tiko Duadua, he alleged in Parliament that Vuk Bainimarama, the Prime Minister, had assaulted him, which the Prime Minister denied. And then a couple of weeks later, some video surfaced, this was last week, and it basically showed the PM, Bainimarama, walking up to the opposition MP and grabbing him and giving him a bit of a tussle. Looked pretty aggressive. It wasn't like a serious assault, but it was definitely... Yeah, it was something. So an investigation ensued. The police looked into it. But on last week, the report that was submitted to Parliament basically said that no, nothing was found, despite the video evidence. Prime Minister basically had to apologise for verbally assaulting the MP, but there was no mention of physical assault. And it also said that the opposition MP should apologise to Frank Bainimarama for like personally targeting him, or launching a personal attack. And so there was a mass walkout on Friday night of the opposition MPs, and the fellow in question, Tika Duadua, has been suspended for 6 months without pay for walking out. So that's a really...
That's...
Yeah, it's crazy.
6 months without... That, I mean, what?
Yes. What? Yeah, it's pretty unfair. There's no justice, really.
Is this, do you think this is the last we're going to hear of this?
Probably not, but I think that's just the power that Bainimarama wields. He's a great leader on certain issues, but he is very much an ex-military man, and he does wield a lot of power, and he can be quite the intimidator. And I think the rhythm and the beat of Parliament kind of that moves to his drum, really. So, yeah, as far as we can tell, it's a pretty unfair result, but that's how it is. But, yeah, I'm sure it won't be the last you hear about it. This guy's, he's walked out and he said, yeah, I'd rather lose my seat than lose my dignity. But he's got a backing, so I'm sure it'll be ongoing.
We will see. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
You can read all the Pacific Media updates, Pacific Media Centre updates, at pmc.aut.ac.nz and asiapacificreport.nz.
That was the Southern Cross.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.